Welcome back to Technicast, a podcast by Technica Editorial Services for scholarly publishers, authors, and researchers, your source for industry news, best practices, and interviews. This episode features a roundtable discussion with Technica's Chris Moffitt, Nikki Lazenby, Rachel Wright, and Casey Wyatt. They recently attended the IBPA Publishing University Conference from April 7th through the 10th of this year. That's the Independent Book Publishers Association's annual conference. They have some insights that they'd like to share with everyone. We recorded this podcast via Zoom call earlier this month due to the ongoing pandemic situation. So that being said, I'll hand it off to Chris. I hope you all enjoy the conversation.
Welcome to the Technicast. Today we will be discussing the recent IBPA Publishing University Conference, which was took place as an all virtual event from April 7th through April 10th. Casey Wyatt, Rachel Wright, and Nikki Lazenby from Technica Editorial were participants at that conference. It's been one of the many virtual conferences that we've attended. So I'll just go ahead and start by asking them what it was like to attend a virtual conference, how it's different from past in-person conferences that you guys have attended.
So this was our first time attending the IBPA conference at all. So it was really interesting that it was virtual the very first time. So I'm even more interested to do it again next year in person and see how it's different then. But virtually, I think they did a really good job. It was one of the most organized and efficient conferences that I've ever been a part of. Even being all virtual, they were very proactive with the platform and making sure we understood our role and what the notifications would look like and how that worked. And then for me personally, I felt like the most beneficial part of it being all virtual was the Q&A session in each talk, because there was just a little window where everyone could jot their questions down as the speaker was talking, and they built up into, you know, a list that the moderator would go through at the end. And it was a lot more seamless than, you know, it is in person where you have to pass the microphone around and all that sort of thing. So I thought that went really well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that having the platform was great. The way it was laid out, it made sense. It was user-friendly. It was easy to kind of keep track of what conferences or discussions were happening at any one given time. On the exhibitor side, it was really cool that you could see when other people were available. So if you wanted to talk to other exhibitors, you could see if they were available to speak, and not having to be necessarily shoehorned and to be only being able to talk to people at specific times. I know we set it up to where one of us was live on our exhibitor page at any given time during the conference. I think that made it more accessible for everyone. So if you were only able to talk to somebody for a couple of minutes, you could try and see them again at a different time. Also, the fact that all of the sessions were recorded was really great. So we have the YouTube links to all the sessions that we can go back and watch and reference, which I thought was really cool and not something that you get with a live experience necessarily.
Yeah, I also liked the recording aspect because one of the things that I was a little bit disappointed when I was looking over the schedule was that I felt like I wanted to go to like every session. But obviously you can't be in two places at once. And so with the fact that they've been recorded, now I'm able to go back and watch some of the ones that I wasn't able to watch live. So, you know, I don't get the benefit of the Q&A, but it's still really useful to be able to have that as a resource and to be able to watch it and still, you know, gain that knowledge. I also thought, yeah, the exhibitor side of the platform was pretty cool. So like attendees could message you. Well, you could message anyone on the platform. But they could message you and like set up a time to talk. And then that made it a little bit easier for us. And also it was really cool that if you talk to someone, you could like look them up on the directory afterwards. And then everybody had like little bios about themselves and like contact information. So suddenly you had like a really easy way to look them up and know like what they're about and how to get in contact with them after the conference. So from an exhibitor side, I felt that that was very useful information to have on hand in a readily accessible manner.
And they also, I feel like, curbed the biggest drawback of it being all virtual, which is the lack of networking. But they did a really good job of sort of heading that off as well as they could by building in these expo hours each day. That's what they called them, the expo. And it was, there were no talks. It was set aside just for attendees to interact with the exhibitors, which is great from our perspective. And they also did a scavenger hunt where they found a question on each exhibitor's page. And if you filled out your full scavenger hunt card, then you were eligible for a prize. So I really appreciated how proactive they were in thinking through the potential drawbacks of being virtual.
Yeah, and they were really good about engaging what they called the like activity stream, where people would post just, you know, random kind of chit chat, which was a cool way to keep people engaged and on the platform when things weren't necessarily happening.
It's good to hear that any drawbacks of a virtual event were mitigated by a lot of positives with regard to networking and recordings and schedule sort of flexibility. So that's good to hear. So let's go ahead and get into the content of the conference. I know you all had a lot of discussions that you were a part of and that you were listening into. So if you guys would just like to provide some of the highlights that you found from the conference, we can just discuss those.
I can jump in here first. So the sort of hot topic, or one of the hot topics, I felt like was the call for standardization to overall raise the quality of self-published books. This being independent publishers, you know, there were a lot of attendees who were first-time authors and just aren't that familiar with publishing at all. And then it sort of ranged all the way up to, you know, small independent publishers that would do maybe 100 books a year. There weren't a lot of people there who were just, you know, mass producing these titles. So there was definitely a big focus on the IBPA checklist. That's something that they are really proud of and have worked hard to sort of perfect, the exactly what should be included and should not be included to make a book look professionally published. And Casey and Rachel can weigh in on this because they heard it too, but in the keynote speech, they had the Barnes & Noble, it was a CEO, I believe.
Yeah, his name is James Daunt. He was talking about how he could tell just by picking up a book that was self-published versus one that was traditionally published, and how he kind of made it come across that he didn't think that they were all, that they were as good as traditionally published books. That was my impression. I came out of that with being like, wow, he really just said that to a bunch of independently published authors and publishers.
Yeah, it was a case of not knowing your audience super well, because I think the chat blew up after that of like, what is he talking about? You know, we do a great job. But I mean, I think we can all agree to some degree that you can sometimes tell when a book is self-published. So they took what is normally a 4-hour class and they condensed it into an hour and a half session, a deep dive to understanding the most important checklist every publisher needs. And it was the most helpful session I've ever been a part of at a conference at all. And it was split into two parts where they went through the content requirements and then the production requirements. So it was really interesting because we usually come at it from the production side. That's the part that we help the authors with. So it was great to hear also the content side and things that we can be proactive in early in the process, helping authors know, you know, what parts A, B, and C that they need to make sure that they have up front. And then I also really appreciated that when they were talking about, you know, the keys to a professionally published book, they said it's really hard to find a good editor. And that just made my heart swell, because that's sort of a, you know, an area that I feel like we can really help out with. And that's why I'm excited to get more involved in the society so we can, you know, provide that need that people are looking for.
Yeah, and just for me to kind of snowball off of that, they had two to four, I think it was definitely two, there might have been another one or two, that were focused more on the production, like your composition, your typesetting, your layout, your design, your fonts, your cover. And for me, those sessions were really great because a lot of the things I knew, but some things that I feel like are kind of obvious, but you don't necessarily think about, they talked about, like, you know, making sure that your font on your cover matches the font that you use for your display in the book, so that there's that continuity and that your title page has the same layout, give or take, the, as your cover, just to make things more consistent throughout. So it's not so jarring to the reader when you pick up a book with some one thing on a cover and then you open to the title page and it looks completely different. So for me, those kinds of things were the most helpful in terms of like, oh, you kind of know that, but I had actually heard that spelled out, if you know what I mean. Like having that kind of laid out in simple terms makes, oh yeah, that makes sense. And like, that's something that we need to make sure that we're keeping consistent throughout, not just the content, but the way the book looks. And not, you, independent publishers and independent authors have a lot more leeway with their design and with their front cover, because for traditional books, those things are determined by the publisher and not the author. And unless you're a very big named author, you have very little control over what your book physically looks like. Whereas for an independent, you get a lot more input into that kind of thing. So knowing these things that make it look consistent and make it look great cover to cover were really important, I think, for us.
Yeah, and then I'll say for my part, the sessions that I kind of stuck to and watched were more marketing based. So around how to promote your book. And, you know, one of the sessions that I watched was about like your having a personal brand for the author. And, you know, that sort of goes with what Casey was saying with all the design aspect, but making sure that like, you know, you've got a consistent way that you present your author name, whether it's your pen name or your real name. And just making sure that all of that is tied together and that like when you do appearances, you consistently present yourself in the same way. Like you don't show up wearing like a, you know, skirt and a nice top one time and then t-shirt and jeans another time, but that you keep it consistent. And one of the really interesting things to me was something I really didn't know much about, which was trade book reviews. And I attended a couple of sessions on that topic. And it was just really interesting because in a lot of ways, when you're an independent author or independent publisher, you kind of think of like the big trade, as they're called, review magazines as being kind of out of your league. And so basically the trade magazines are things like Publishers Weekly, Kirkus, and Forward. Those were some of the people that were speaking at these sessions. And they traditionally in the past have done like reviews of like upcoming books being published by like the big publishers. But these trade magazines have also now started to diversify into, you know, like lanes that are specific to independent publishing. And so they actually do have a lot to offer to independent authors. And something else that was interesting was that they kind of have like a free option, like, so you have to apply and like your book has to like go through, you know, an application process and make sure that it checks off certain boxes. And then if they determine they have the space for it in that upcoming issue, then they'll go with your book and they'll do a professional review of it. And it'll be like just the same as like a formally published book or traditionally published book, but for your independent book. But they also have paid for reviews. So if independent authors submit their book and maybe they don't get the free version of it, they can also pay for a review. And there's a lot of discussion about how that used to be stigmatized because it sort of felt like the author was just paying for good publicity. And so these three big trade magazine people were talking about how they had really made sure that they were consistent in, you know, applying the same standards for both the traditional and the independent books, and that they weren't, just because it was paid, it didn't mean it would be a positive review. But then they were also very careful to say, you know, no one wants to pay for a review that just trashes your book and is like out there, right? So they were careful to say that, okay, we're not going to sugarcoat it, you know, we're not going to talk up your book and say it's like the best book ever if, you know, it had flaws. But in the negative review, there will always be at least one positive takeaway. So even if as an author, you pay for a review and it ends up being negative, you can still use like that positive takeaway in your promotional materials. And furthermore, they also mentioned how important just having a trade book review is. because it can be what like booksellers, like the big booksellers like Barnes & Noble, Walmart, things like that, and what libraries look at in order to order your book. Because a lot of times, even if you like tried to pitch your book somehow to these big booksellers or to a library, the first thing they'll check is to see if it has any reviews. And if they don't see your book having any reviews on these websites or these like databases that show the reviews, then they don't like think of it as a real book, so to speak. I mean, that's kind of a harsh way to put it, but basically it's a way to get your foot in the door for things like library distribution and stuff like that.
Sounds like an innovative conference that had to evolve with the times, but it is in an industry that is constantly evolving as well, which is probably shows in the complexity of the conversations that were had there. Any parting thoughts or takeaway from the conference about how the industry is going to be affected at large or anything to that degree?
One other topic that I saw represented that I think is a good reflection of evolution and changing with the times was that there was a lot of discussion on diversity and inclusion and basically how that is being handled in all the various facets of independent publishing. With kind of the idea that independent publishing is really a way that publishing in general can sort of better diversify the authors and such that are being published, because a lot of times traditional publishers are still pretty big gatekeepers, and it might be easier for more diversification to be published in the independent route. And so to that end, like even the book review discussions that I was just talking about, they were talking about how they all need to improve on their staff having a more diverse reviewer, number of reviewers, because they were, you know, admitting that their reviewers were kind of all around the same sort of type of demographics, and that they could definitely benefit from having like more minorities or more people that are just generally representative of readers.
Yeah, I think too, with like that in mind too, that it really helped drive home the fact that independent publishing is not some new fad that's just going to go away, that it really is here, something that is here to stay, that it's becoming a larger part of the publishing ecosystem, that it's not this like flash fire thing that, oh, anybody can publish anything, but it's becoming its own thing and starting to rival in certain genres and certain types of books, traditional publishing itself, and that it really does allow anyone to, while it does really allow anyone to publish anything, the quality that is being published is much higher than I think a lot of people would realize just off the street, that these are high quality books written by experts, by people who know what they're talking about. And that it's something that's going to continue impacting the market in a lot of ways, and ignoring it is not something that can be done from publishing's point of view.
Agreed. I would just echo exactly what Casey and Rachel said, that, you know, the traditional views of publishing are just changing, not a flash in the pan, like Casey said, and there's no longer just one avenue to becoming a published author. Because I know for me specifically, I just have this image in my head of someone like waiting for a letter in the mail if their book is going to be rejected. And they're like, I got 15 rejection letters. But it's not like that anymore. If you have the idea and you have the drive, then there are the resources out there for you to be an independently published author. And, you know, you just have to kind of find the key partners to help you with the process. But, you know, the power's more in your hands as an author now than it ever has been before.
Agreed. Definitely a sign of the changing times. Well, Casey, Rachel, Nikki, thank you guys for being a part of the conference and sharing your thoughts. Again, this was the IBPA Publishing University Conference. Technica was ecstatic to be a part of it, and we hope to be a part of future ones. Thank you guys for listening to the Technicast.